All right, we're going to go live with a group member here. I'm going to give him a call. Told my Coleman, 5:15. Just so you know, I got about 4 hours of sleep last night. Hopefully, I'll be sharp. I don't want to not give you guys a video based on my sleep pattern, but my son decided to stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning, being a complete psychopath. So I'm a tad tired, but I'm going to work through it. We're going to see if we can get some good answers for you guys today and provide some value in the group. Let me just go to my text here and then call this dude. All right. I want to give his name because there's anonymity. He's probably watching this video, waiting for his phone to ring. He had some questions. Let me answer some questions.
Hello.
Yo, what's up, man? It's Dennis.
Yo, what's going on, brother?
I'm recording you. You know that, right?
Yeah, that's cool.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not going to say your name so your friends don't pick on you and you don't feel embarrassed.
All right, cool. They probably might know who I am anyway, so listen.
You do have a very unique voice. I got to tell you that while I'm making love to my wife next time, I may have to come in and whisper in her ear.
Right.
You do have one of those voices. Do girls tell you like all the time, like, wow, your voice is great?
A little bit, but I just got up a little while ago anyway, so.
Dude, that's the way I want to hear it, bro. Right next. You must be a great friend to go camping with, like waking up to like the white Barry White.
Yeah, right in the background outside the tent. Like, what's that? I don't know, man. Don't worry about it.
Dude, this is nice. I may just have you like record something for my wife for Valentine's Day. How much I love her.
Hey, let it all down.
All right, cool. All right, so dude, hit me with your questions. We're going to see if I can provide you some value. I'm on 4 hours of sleep, so I'm slightly special today. But go ahead.
Yeah, here you go. I'm going the same way. Pretty much a lot of questions I'm going to answer. You know, it's just more like I said, just to get on there. You know, listening to, you know, the kid on there the other day, you know, I felt like being a guy on it has about, you know, almost 2 years. I can see where he's coming from, you know, with just being a rookie with stuff and just being, you know, more confident. You know what I mean? I got some notes down the road, you know, confident, not cocky. You know, I feel like we have a bad rep as it is today. You know, a lot of guys out there, you know, there's a difference between being confident and cocky, you know, and when you bring up, you know, search against send forms, you know what I mean? All that stuff is funny because as a rookie cop, you know, I hear you when it was like the first time you getting on. It's like, man, I can't ask somebody to get out the car. I can't ask somebody, you know, to have consent. And the first time you do it, it's like, oh my God, like, yo, I just hit the lottery. Like, it's the best feeling in the world. And it's like, yo, that's so easy.
True. Yeah, that's true, dude. And I you're in New Jersey, right?
Yeah, I'm in New Jersey. Like I said, I'm in a group. I took the class. It was like, wow.
Dude, you know what's interesting is, if you were a cop that came on the road prior to 2015, which we know you weren't because you have 2 years on, you have no choice but to have to get consent. But now everybody's relying on this odor marijuana. I'm trying to find PC first.
If you were a cop,
are you running the fucking video in the background?
Yeah, I got it on. I got a little.
I feel like I'm like a radio talk show host. Like, turn it down to the background, caller. You can watch it later, bro. I swear you can watch it later. And
yeah, that's what I'm going
to
do.
I mean, if I had your voice, I'd be watching it later too and listening to myself. You know what I'm saying? if that's the one thing, man, if you actually came on prior to 2015, you would have to know how to get consent to search because you wouldn't be searching cars any other way except going for search warrants. Today, everybody's depending on finding PC, then going into the car. You can't find PC unless you look for it. If they're not giving you the PC and you don't think you have a reasonable suspicion, then you got to work with the reasonable suspicion. That allows you to ask for consent to search in New Jersey. So people are watching around the country in New Jersey. And that's obviously the for everybody in the country, the standard you'll need to call for a canine unit. So getting your game up and getting past those weird, like, I'm scared to do things. I'm uncomfortable with this. What if they say no? You know, if that's those things you can't get past in your mind, this profession may be for you, but not this line of work or this detail kind of work where you're going to go out and do interdiction work. You got to hit me with a question. Is there a burning question you have? Because I promise everybody you have a question.
Yeah. This question is, when do you seize money? If there's, let's say, motor vehicle stop, there's no CDS in the car, but let's say you ask for consent, you think something's up, you search the car, and you find a lot of money. Are you going off of, let's say, you know, the $10,000 limit that banks use, or are you seizing kind of anything in the car, you know, again, totality of circumstances, you search a car, the hidden compartment, you find $3,000 in cash, you think something's up, are you seizing that, or are you strictly waiting until you find some type of CDS, some types of bags, some types of scales, etc., plus the $3,000, and then you're seizing? Is there like a cutthroat type of amount that you can seize?
First thing I'll tell you to do is always whatever you're going to do when it comes to seizing money is contact your supervisor and see if they're okay with whatever you're going to do. You know, like, so 3,000, it depends. Like, are you going to ask the guy questions? Is he going to have a good reason for having it? Like, if you pulled me over, I mean, I was in Florida recently, I had 2,000 in my pocket. You know, so if you pulled me over in Florida, I mean, this is kind of, I'm not trying to sound like a hot shot, but I was down there for a business trip in Miami, and that's kind of just brought some cash just in case. And I went to the bank. I was like, yeah, let me take $2,000 out. And had it in my pocket. So if you pulled me over and I had a good explanation for it, and you understood that and you didn't think there was, you know, reasonable suspicion, but very different from somebody you'd pull over and you would find that their story's being correct. Maybe there's an association with narcotics distribution or some kind of illegal activity. I would contact the supervisor, you know, just let them know what you're going to do. And then I, you know, I, 3,000, again, just depends. Does the guy work at STS and he makes four, you know, $8 an hour and he works 7 hours a week, but he's got 3,000 or 4,000 in cash on him. And he also has, like, you know, his story's bad. So that really just depends. There's no threshold limit on seizing money. I think in order to seize money, I forgot what the number is. I haven't done it in years. I think it's 275 or 375 is the minimum for New Jersey. Correct. Do you know that off the top of your head?
No.
Yeah. I know there's a minimum in New Jersey where it's like, I think it's 375. So if you had to give back anything, anytime we had somebody with possession would attempt to distribute, we could take cash if we had more than, I think it was 375. Please, nobody watch this video, quote me exact. I have to go into the AG guideline or your county rules. You should be able to find that. And then you would seize and take the denominations of the money. But partying hard in Florida. Yeah, yeah. Yes, Mr. Rodriguez, I was partying hard in Florida for the one day I went to the, somebody's right in on the thing. Yeah, the one day I went to the Gary Vaynerchuk Agent 2021 event. For real estate teams, I was partying rocking hard. So again, it just really comes down to a judgment call. I don't think there's, you know, you see 10, 500, is it Anthony? They moved it up to 500. Anthony Cloverhill writes in 500 in Middlesex.
Okay.
It was cheaper than that before. I know it was, when I left, it was 375. Again, if you're finding $48,000 in a car in a compartment in a plastic bag, you're obviously going to know that you're going to have to do something with that. Right, and dude, right, again, you're taking money, but you're putting in for seizure. So it doesn't mean even if you take it, you're going to give somebody a receipt for it, right? You're going to give people receipts for any kind of property you take.
Right.
And if the assistant prosecutor or your county prosecutor or your AG or whatever you got to work with doesn't want to seek to get the money, you can tell people, like, look, I'm going to count the money from you. I'm going to give you a receipt. If they don't want to take it, you'll get it back. You know, that's the best thing I could tell you, is it doesn't mean they're never going to see it again. It's just, it goes up for a forfeiture and it's got to be approved. So those money questions are difficult because they come in such various forms. Guys will call me and be like, yo, we hit $800 on a guy. I'm like, $800 in my back pocket, you know? So where I know people who are doing high level interdiction work are finding 35 plus, 50 plus on stops, and people have no reason to have it. That's a big difference between finding $1,000 or $2,000. You know what I'm saying?
A little thousand, a little more. Yeah. Like, that's just something, you know, we don't really come, you know, or at least where I work, we don't, you know, really come across too much. So just, again, one of those questions, you know, it's like, is there a set amount that people try to base it off of?
So there is,
like you said, the totality of everything. You know what I mean? What else you find in a car, stories don't match up, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. So like I said, Anthony's writing in that 500 is the minimum in Middlesex. So you would need at least 500 to go there. So your best bet is just trying to, oh God, we had guys reach out to me yesterday who had I was going to make a suggestion to call an assistant prosecutor, but it's probably not a good idea. There was a guy, assistant prosecutor came to a police department. I'm not going to say where. And of course they was given, when they were posing questions, they were getting the assistant prosecutor answers, the typical ones. I don't know, but I'm going to ask somebody and I'll get back to you. You're an attorney. All right. We're posing simple questions. The question they gave was simple. I was able to answer it very quickly. You're an attorney and you don't know questions that you should know as an assistant prosecutor. I mean, just simple stuff, basics of criminal justice rules. And they just didn't know. And I'm like, guys, I mean, this is just easy. This guy's not good. So in lieu of saying, go see an assistant prosecutor, I think your best bet is to maybe ask at your department first and look for some kind of guideline. Let me just read what Joey Burns writes in. Guy from Minnesota. National Guard has taken our money and ran tests to see if drug residues on them show the money was in recent areas of drugs. That helps some cases with large currency here. Yeah, some counties and some prosecution, what do we call it, like prosecution style, whoever they are, your AG or your district attorney, a lot of times they'll ask for a hit with a dog. But if I'm not mistaken, I think like there's like 99% of money has drug residue on it.
Right.
But they want to see that. They think that pads their case more. And that may be very well something they do in court. I'm not sure about that. I can tell you I never had money sniffed in Middlesex County once. I never had a dog come and sniff money. Actually, the first time I heard that, I couldn't believe that somebody was actually doing that, to be honest with you. What money does not have drugs on it? Exactly, Steve. That's my point. So the delay on the responses or the video is a little interesting. Dude, any other questions I can answer for you?
Cool. Yeah, I guess going into PC, I mean, I'll probably answer myself. You know, I said we see a lot of weed, you know, dealing with, obviously, if you smell weed in the car, you smell weed on them. You know, I was at the class, State versus George Myers, hockey lot, yeah, for the odor, which means I can then search it. So, you know, you come up to a car, you have no weed, you know, you talk to the driver, very suspicious, you know, let's say, see some track marks, you know, some scar cuts on the face, et cetera, they get some, you know, extra activity use there, and you see a wax fold in the car. So technically, because you see the wax fold, that gives you PC to get in the car.
Yes.
But that, does that actually give you PC to now search the person? Because obviously you can't smell, you know, if it was weed, you can smell the weed on them, you can feel something in his pocket, but can you search that person because you found a wax fold in the car?
Well, I mean, so the question is like, is he the only... So I'm going to tell you this.
He's the only occupant.
Yeah, like I mean, he's arrestable, right?
The weed in the car, the wax fold in the car. Yeah. Can you then search his person's... thinking that, you know, he possibly has some folds in his pocket, he's got some in his shoe, etc.
So I'm going to give you good advice, and I kind of get where you're going with this. At the point you found the wax fold, they become arrestable, right? I'll tell you the first thing that I would tell you is, if you're going to pose questions designed to confirm or dispel suspicions of more criminal activity or to elicit incriminating statements at that point, you got to read Miranda, but...
Yep, read Miranda up.
Look, dude, handcuffs is not the moment that signifies that somebody's under arrest. So if you don't want to be handcuffing, I mean, I guess you're good. Like if you don't find anything else, you're going to be looking for maybe an avenue to not make an arrest on a bullshit sort, you know, PDP for drug paraphernalia. My suggestion is I wouldn't say a thing. I would search him and make sure he had nothing on him before I deemed that he was free to go. You see what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Technically,
you know, call a canine out, canine hits on a car, but from what I would, you know, from what I guess I know, canine can't hit on a person. You can't tell a person, hey, stand there. I mean, run the dog around them. Maybe, like it says, maybe you can do that. I don't know.
So you would like, you found the stuff. You wouldn't have to say on tape, like if you're on an MVR, like, oh, you're under arrest, I'm going to search you. You could literally take somebody to the back of the car and search them.
Right.
And, you know, if you find something at that point, it was already searched and sent to arrest. Although you didn't announce it, he was under arrest at the point where you saw the wax fold, the heroin. I get what you're saying on the other side. Like, well, what if we don't fucking take him? Just make sure he doesn't have anything in his pockets.
Right.
Well, you know, that's, I'm going to give you the, because I'm somebody, like, technically you're not supposed to do that. But if you're trying to do somebody a favor and not waste your time, I understand where you're getting at. I just wouldn't be saying things like, hey, man, you're not under arrest at this moment, but I want to check you just to make sure before we let you go after finding this wax fold, empty wax fold of heroin. Now, also know that in the Statewide Narcotics Action Plan, which is an AG guideline, it's super outdated. I think it's from like 1991. Directive 2:2, I believe is the right directive, says that you shall make arrests for all CDS-related offenses, no matter how small, unless it like disrupts an investigation or is some kind of problematic thing for public safety. So just be really careful with, you know, seeing things and acknowledging them and then not doing anything about it. I don't want to see anybody get jammed up. And that's in any state. There's, look, I was a cop in DC. We could take drugs and take a time and alarm on it or a time and number, an incident number. And we could, like, we would call in like, hey, send me a time and alarm for narcotics crack, no arrest. You could write a report on it, not arrest the guy. It doesn't go any further. And then just put the evidence in for destruction. That'd be a nice tool if we had that here in New Jersey or for any other state that has it. It's a really nice thing to have because then you don't got to worry about like, well, look, why are we wasting our time taking this kid on a fucking half-smoked joint? We could just take this shit, destroy it, instead of throwing it down the sewer and being worried about our jobs. But I don't think it's that paramount where our lawmakers are going in and saying like, well, that's, yeah, we should really do that. You know, maybe somebody writes a letter to Phil Murphy and says, like, why don't we do this? You know, you want less people in jail? Like, give us the option to destroy, to not make an arrest on disorderly persons offenses, you know, narcotic seizures. So or whatever it is. But anyway, that's my answer to that, man. Did I make that clear for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, it's just, you know, again, something we don't see too much out, you know, by us. We weren't seeing a lot more of it, you know. So again, it's not something we deal with all the time. I should say myself deals with all the time. You just always, you know, you never want to, you know, or I guess you should say some of us, you know, we work in a gray area. You know what I mean? It's good, it's bad. Depends.
Dude, you know what? You're deemed to,
sure everything, you know, flies straight. If you do find something or find something more than, you know what I mean, what you think you may be looking for, you know, then how do you?
Dude, I hate when people refer to like interdiction and proactive police work as the gray area. The only people who refer to it as a gray area are the people who've never worked in it. It's not the gray area. It's just the good area where everybody who's doing proactive, good, effective, you know, smart police work. And guys are like, well, that's the gray area. Yeah, it's the gray area if you have an administration that doesn't back you or has no idea what you're talking about. Jesus Christ, I have to say that I had a good administration, at least from a, you know, within ranks structure, I don't know so much as the top, but from the rank structure where I was lieutenant sergeant, always had a lot of support. And it was never questioned, like, because people are in the gray area when they don't know what they're doing. But if you know case law and you know tactics and all this other stuff, and you have an administration that understands what you're doing and gets it, like, you're working exactly where you're supposed to be. I'm not picking on you for saying that. I know you say that because it's probably been said to you 100 times. Well,
just throwing it out there.
You know, yeah. I totally agree. Dude, people refer to my training as
your class, yeah, you know, and learning the case law and the stuff like that. You know, going back to my confidence and cocky thing, you know what I mean? I feel like a lot of people throw that term out, you know, oh, it's a gray area, this and that. And I have to agree with you. You know, like, if you don't know what you're doing, you know, you're using a gray area because you don't know. You don't know if it's right. You don't know if it's wrong. Right. So use that terminology. But once you kind of get the grasp of, you know, I can do A, I can't do B, I can do C. You know what I mean? Like you said, it's thrown out. It's either I'm doing the right things or I'm doing the wrong things. You know, it's just going to hit the fan, or, you know, we're good to go and everything's going to stay.
Yeah, dude. I mean, see, that's just it. And there's a lot of people who don't know a lot of this stuff. And that's kind of the... That's the incentive why I get on here and try to get everybody educated and understood. Problem is, you know, the people that you're trying to communicate this to are not in this group. Or if they watch these videos, this is what they do. La, 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 la. Some people have referred to my training as the gray area, but it's not. It's not the gray area. You know, right. People who understand that it's not the gray area, they continue to send their staff and administration to my training so they get a better understanding of how to work the law, how to filter through the gray area. There's no gray area. But anyway... Bro, anything else before we end this?
No, that's pretty much it. You know, I just want to say, you know, to everybody listening out there, you know, you didn't contact me like, hey, you know, come out here, talk good about me, you know, this and that. You know, I got to just say, you know, like I said, I came to the class and it was a huge eye-opener. You know, I was that guy like everybody else. I ran plates. You know, I was like, oh, man, shit. I got a, you know, expired registration. Like, whoa. You know, and you just ran plates all day and you really miss all the other stuff that's going by you. You know, and coming to class, it really opened your eyes. And for instance, you know, just last night, you know, going back to some of the stuff you say, I'm sitting there on, you know, an interstate that I run. I wasn't even really looking for anything. I was actually using a turnaround to go back into town. And car comes by in the far left lane, passes me, automatically jams on the brakes and moves over to the middle lane, catches my attention. I'm like, that's weird. And again, not even thinking, you know, like I'm not looking for anything. So pull out in the cut, you know, start following the car. I can see he's kind of swerving a little bit at that point. They're probably looking in the rearview mirror, see what's going on. Run a tag, New York tag, rental out of Oklahoma.
I love it.
Thinking like, bam, 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 got him. Pull behind the car in the middle lane. Now he starts swerving real bad over dotted line, trying to maintain lane. Because again, he's probably looking at me in the rearview mirror, thinking, oh shit, pull the car over, bam, weed in the car. You
love
know,
it.
Again, just little pretextual, you know, stuff that you teach in the class, you know, of reaction to your patrol, you know, to the patrol car. And again, it's something where I'm not even out, you know, hunting, saying, all right, I'm looking for stuff. I was just turning around and go back in town. And again, something small just caught my eye. You know, you rode behind it for a little bit, seeing if it does anything, you know, multiple violations, and bam, you get something out of it. You know, so I have to tell people who are on the fence of going to the class or not, you know, take the class. You know, it's whatever the cost is, you know what I mean? Even if you take one little thing out of the class, it's going to open your game and bring so much more knowledge to the, you know, patrol aspect and their addiction aspect. It's crazy. You know what I mean?
Dude, I appreciate the endorsement. And I saw something recently in the group and I want to just address it. Look, with these people who are engaged in criminal activity or illegal activity, you got to understand that. I think one guy wrote like, hey, I'm employing these tactics and all I'm pulling over is suspended drivers. Like, you're going to get that. You're going to run into suspended drivers.
Yeah, I still actually comment on that. You know, a lot of guys, like I said, they probably know who I am with going off that. I mean, I get 340s all the time. No, we bust my chops.
It's just all part of the process. It's all part of the game. They're going to react the same exact way as the guy who's got 4 kilos in the trunk.
Say, hey, it's a fake arrest, you know, and my department actually arrest for it. So yeah, we get a stat, haha. But at the end of the day, it's a 340. But my thing is, you know, if yes, I'm getting 340s, but I'm still understanding the knowledge I was taught in class to pull over these cars that you said are still doing things that are catching my attention. So whether they got, you know, pounds of weed, you know, hundreds of grands, like you said, a big load. Yeah, I'm not hitting a big load, but I still learned enough information to see a car, spot a car, you know, pick off stuff that they're doing to pull it over to say, hey, something might be going on in this car. Let's see what it is. And if it's a 340 and he's suspended, hey, no big deal. If he's got kilos of coke in there, you know what I mean? And a couple hundred thousand, great. You know, I'm doing my job.
Bro, it starts at that level of understanding the basics of what you're looking for. And then it grows to that, I promise you. And the only advice I can give you is if you guys are finding yourselves plateauing at a medium low level, even at a medium level, I think the next step in the game is to understand hidden compartments and
yep.
Really just continue to train. I mean, you know, the best of the best. Some of those guys have sent themselves to training all over the country. You know, we got our heroes here in New Jersey. I'm sure the three guys that I'm associated with right now, TJ Cullen, Brad Gilmore, who's an instructor for Street Cop Training, and Sean Pardesi, who runs the III Q&A group. I promise you, these guys did not wake up and they were born with this knowledge. They spent, I know for a fact that TJ and Brad's got like 360 hours of trap training under his belt. And TJ, when I first met him, was telling me he's flying all over the country, put himself through schools to learn about how good he is. And that, you know, everybody's like, wow, how do you get all this stuff? Like, he spent time learning it. You know, he didn't go fuck around at a Brad Paisley. What's the guy's name? Kenny Chesney? Is Brad Paisley a fucking singer? They weren't like tailgating it. Maybe they were, but they spent a lot of time understanding and learning their craft to become the best, the very best, which gives them the audacity to stand up in front of people and instruct. So, cool, man. Listen, I know we've met before, but dude, I appreciate you taking the time to come out. If anybody else wants to come on this video, thing and do a phone call, I appreciate you having the balls to actually jump on here with me, dude. Thank you very much for the kind words.
No, anytime. Like I said, I gotta say, I love the videos, you know what I mean? The short, nice little videos, you know, it definitely helps, you know, myself out again, of seeing other people's experiences. Cause you know, a lot of us are doing the same stuff. Like you said, I don't know, you know, maybe people don't have the balls to actually come out and be like, oh shit, you know, like I got a question because again, you know, I've been on for X amount of time. I should know this. I should know that, you know, drop the ego. You know,
yeah.
I mean, we're all here to learn.
Yeah. That's it, dude. I mean, listen,
know, professionals here, you know, we all want to get better. We can learn off other people's stuff, you know, but,
we go for
it. Like I said, man, it definitely helped out watching stuff, you know, posting up there and all that stuff.
Cool, brother. Yeah. Awesome, bro. I really appreciate it.
Anytime, man, anytime. So thank you again for having me on there, man. Everybody be safe. And like I said, keep the videos coming.
Will do, bro. I will.
So, all right. Have a good one.
Thanks, man. See you.
All right.
So, you know, it's interesting. It's funny how far we reach out in this group, but my friend who's a cop up in Newton, it's up, Dan, if you're watching. He was telling me he's driving through Sparta last night. He saw like three patrol cars with the takedowns down on the highway, which is cool. He's like, man, I just have this weird feeling like you're having an impact. And I'm like, it's just crazy that this group, I'm able to get out to those people in the group and get everybody on the same page and, you know, to get educated and trained and all that jazz. Good news. Brad Gilmore's class for hidden compartments and traps. First one scheduled April. What's it, Melissa? April 5th? April 5th, Morris County Police Academy. We have 50 spots available for that class. It is going to fly off. We're working on adding it to the website right now. That's just a cool announcement, man. Brad Gilmore is a beast. We have been working on his program here. He is a killer instructor. He is super knowledgeable, and I do not want to miss out on that training. It is dope. I will be there as well, sitting in. We'll hang out. We'll do selfies together. Joe White, what's up, brother? Your buddy seems to think you're one of my biggest fan. I don't know. I have a few fans that are out there. But what's up, Joe? We could be pals, bro. You were one of the new guys. One of the guys who got early on. Yeah, Brad's a beast. Doug Reiner, right? Brad's a beast. Class was awesome. And, dude, Doug, from the class you came to the one where we put together now, it's going to be crazy strong. It was really, really good stuff. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, enjoy your weekend. I think I'll be back here Saturday. I definitely won't be back here Sunday. So see you.